Oh, it is time for The Struggle with Alyssa Perara.
I'm with Nia. Thank you for sitting down with me. So for people who don't know, I'm in Sacramento at the Gender Health Center where Nia works at. And we're preparing for a rally and march tomorrow called Still Here, which is meant to evoke the phrase that Miss Major, the pioneering trans rights activist, used talking about her longevity, her persistence, and her resilience, where she actually used the F word and said, still effing here. But we're just gonna drop that for a little bit of respectability, but not too much. So Nia, thank you for being here.
Hello. It's nice to be back on the radio on KBOO again.
Nia used to be on Bread and Roses.
I used to be on Bread and Roses.
Yes.
And I got in trouble for not censoring myself. I said the P word.
I haven't cussed yet.
Oh, great.
I really hope I
you
don't.
You have more control than I do.
Oh, God. Okay. And you have the roses.
I do have the roses.
So yeah. Give us our roses. I mean, like, it all comes back around. So when we say give us our roses while we're still here, we're talking about the fact that trans death is often sort of recognized and mourned and,
right.
I don't want to say celebrated, but acknowledged, right?
Right, yeah. Affirming trans people when they're dead, right? But Miss Major is, you know, she said, give me my roses now when I'm still here and I'm still alive, meaning that acknowledge me now, give me my recognition now, like give me the right to survive and live, the right to live right now. Yeah.
So I think about that, and then I think about the Russian Revolution, where, you know, bread and roses comes
bread
from
and roses.
Right? So like that was the feminist call, you know, that helped to kick off the Russian Revolution. So 101 years later, right, here we are.
The roses are still here. Yeah.
Gorgeous. So firstly, please talk about why this march is being called.
This march is being called because every year trans people, we have been in a state of emergency of transgender community violence and state-sanctioned violence that needs to be addressed. And we, as a community, are always in shock and awe because we are in a state of emergency. Our livelihood, survival is always compromised repeatedly. And so this is a call to action for all trans people, gender non-conforming people from any section of the continent, that we're still here. We have been here for through constant, like across many civilizations, right? That there have been gender variant people in many civilizations, in many different areas in the world, and yet we are systematically faced with so much violence, right? And we're still here. So this is a call out and a shout out to all of the trans people out there that are hiding or scared or discombobulated or just like really shook, right, with how this state is affecting us, that we have a lot of resilience, and that is something that is within our community, and that we have a lot of strength, more than we really, a lot more than we like to, that we know of, right? That we have to access this power mm-hmm. within us and form together and band together and go with the movement. So it's a call out, a shout out.
Can you talk about the Trump memo?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, there was the leaked memo that came out, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? In which they stated their plans to erase trans people And then there was also like the plans to remove us from the census. I mean, this has been a systematic thing that's been going on for a long time through colonization with European colonization. But still to this day that like our gender is constantly being colonized and put into these two boxes, like of like literally penis and vagina, right? So we're tired of it. Our very being is tired of it, being put in these boxes, you know, like being drawn these white lines around our body where we're just like walking corpse, you know, like living through this life under this oppressive state.
So yeah, I wanted to say that the New York Times article that hit that morning when the memo came out, it laid out that gender would be considered, or sex would be what is assigned at birth and unchangeable.
Unchangeable, yes.
So essentially what that means is trans people cease to be recognized as such. And in terms of the census that you spoke about, it's vitally important that we get all of the correct information.
Right.
So hearkening to the question about citizenship on the census, what that does, if you don't ask the correct questions on the census, is affect the kind of funding and services that are available to people that are in underserved communities.
Absolutely.
So if you never document them as
people
they are, then there's going to be that much less in terms of federal dollars that can be rendered to organizations and agencies that will seek to mend the inequities that they face. And people who are immigrants who are here and need to be able to live, and trans people who need the same, will essentially be underserved if they're not recorded correctly on the census. So it's more than just a I don't like you push, and more like a not only do I not like you, I'm going to systemically make sure that you are underserved and that your marginalization is even more acute.
Right.
So I think that's just important to put out there.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Miss Major. Can you just, and I said that she's a pioneering trans activist, but can you talk a little bit about your experience with Miss Major and what people should know about her?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure and the privilege of meeting Miss Major, one of the original Stonewall trans women that, you know, well, she didn't fight back. She, you know, she was arrested that night, but like, you know, she's been around, and she was politicized in prison, she, you know, she was politicized. She started doing the prison work to protect trans people after she left. So she started the Transgender Intersex Justice Project in San Francisco. You know, and so she's been doing this work for a long, long time. I met her 2 months ago for a party, you know, to give her roses,
yes.
Right? So we brought her some roses, drove from Sacramento to the city, and she hugged me, and she gave me a kiss, and she called me her baby, and I loved her warmth so much. That was my first time meeting her, and I was just very struck by that give us our roses, you know, so, and even more moved by the still here, because you know what, as a trans person, yes, I've been through a lot of trauma myself, and that I'm still here after all of that. So,
beautiful. I met her a few years ago at her retirement party. So after she stepped down from TGIJP as executive director for Janetta to come up, I was at a party that was thrown for her. where Alicia Garza, the creator or the co-creator of Black Lives Matter, hosted the fundraiser for her retirement fund, because surprise, surprise, under neoliberalism, there's less and less retirement funds that, you know, you can even put into, right? Not that, you know, retirement funds have ever really been available to, you know, Black trans women who come out of prison, right? But even less so now because of increasing precarity, you know, among the entire working class.
Yeah.
So it was at a beautiful place downtown, and she had like a full chair that would look like a throne, and people came and gave her respects and, you know, talked about how much she meant to them and to the movement. You know, she was one of the people at Stonewall, right? This is an icon, and we don't have to wax poetic and imagine what Stonewall might have been like, you know, and sort of go into the archives and, you know, try to read documents. She was there, and she can tell you what happened, and that needs to be honored. So I can't say enough how grateful I am to Miss Major, because she could have so easily faded away and rightfully feel like I did my part. I helped to make Stonewall pop off, the urban rebellion, right? That put sort of the rights of LGBT people on the map. And she could have very easily said, okay, I did my part, and now I'm going to try to figure out a way to, you know, make my life and have a quiet. No. Miss Major goes hard for prison abolition.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that. And I feel like the march tomorrow, the work that you and I and so many other trans people are doing, is honoring that. You know, so no, you haven't been struggling all this time for nothing, because we're still doing the work, you know?
Yeah, because she's touched so many lives, you know? She's not only asking to be given roses. She gives us our roses, too. She acknowledged me when I met her. Like, she saw me for me. And that is something that doesn't really happen very much when you're a trans person and you meet cis people out there, or just,
that's,
you know,
true.
You know? And so...
No, we get tokenized like a mother. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Even for me, doing a lot of the social justice activism that I do, it's pretty clear that oftentimes people want to have me in because they need a trans person to be there.
Right.
Right? Or a person of color, a woman.
Yeah.
You know, a survivor, you know, go down the line, and I often do just say yes, and I'll just do it because the networks are just not strong enough, the outreach is not sufficient enough, that there's a plethora of people to go to. There's a big gap between sort of trans celebrities that, you know, they ask for thousands of dollars to speak, and not that they don't deserve it, but, you know, that's what it is, all the way down to just rowdy activists, you know, that go out on the street and yell at fascists and, you know, cry themselves to sleep afterwards because it's so hard to do this work. And I wish that there was more of a middle layer. Trans people who are getting trained as revolutionaries. And that's really it.
Well, I mean, I really hope that the march will activate more trans youth to see themselves as revolutionaries and potential organizers. And, you know, I really do hope that it will activate them to go out and fight for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Miss Major has activated that in me and you, and we activated it in each other. You know, like, it was you that pulled me into the struggle. It was, I mean, like, you and Heidi and so many others, you know? And I make it my work to be able to continue to do this and pull others in with me too, because you know, like I said earlier, like, we're so discombobulated that there's so much going on with the mess that these capitalists have created, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard for us to really see how to fix this problem, you know? So.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And when I acknowledge how exhausting it is, I'm acutely sort of shaken back by life and be like, okay, well, you're exhausted, but so what?
Keep going.
Not that it doesn't matter. It matters that I'm exhausted and that I'm hurt, but that doesn't mean that I can stop.
Right.
So there's that. So you also mentioned what it's like to bring other people into the fold. So last night in the planning meeting, it was a kiki.
Oh,
like,
God,
the team that you have around you are really funny and effective and passionate and educated. Can you talk about how that team came together and what y'all do?
Yeah, so, you know, I work here at Gender Health Center, and I see trans people every day. I love it. And, you know, I just, hey, one day, you know, because, okay, so we did other actions before. So then one day, you know, I just said, hey, we should meet up and talk about organizing a march or an action or protest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just invited anybody and everybody that I could, right? That I saw. And so the people that showed up, like, you know, the first meeting that we had, it was just like four people. It was me and one of my sisters that work here, Jasmine, Delphine, and Bianca, you know? And there was also GT too. GT identifies as, what was it? I had never heard of it before, but non-binary. Oh God, I can't remember right now. But we just met up and we're like, okay, well, what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
And then as the meetings got closer and closer to what it is today, more trans people saw and reached out. I really want to help any way that I can I come to the organizing meeting? And so the spirit of what we shared last night in that room was it's just people that were hungry for some change,
mm-hmm.
for some justice,
mm-hmm.
and I think, like, all that kikiing and that laughter is because we were in a space that wasn't entirely cis, you know, cisgenderly oppressive, that we could just be amongst each other and just
mm-hmm.
laugh
mm-hmm.
and read each other.
Yes.
And it was, yeah.
The reading piece is very important.
Oh, absolutely.
I
think you should talk about that, like, you know, like.
So, oh yeah, yeah, reading, thank you. You can't assume everybody. So, reading is like, some people call it like doing the dozens, you know, or cutting A, you know, like, it's when you're all sort of being biting and cutting to one another, but it's everyone knows that you're doing it from a place of love. And it has historically been one of the ways that we bond and heal. And yes, it comes from trauma, because it's oftentimes what we're doing is sort of repeating what the world says and thinks about us, but we say it to one another. And in a way, it steals you. It makes you more prepared,
yeah.
so that when someone who is, you know, being antagonistic to you because you're trans, trying to humiliate you because you're trans, actually your sisters have been reading you for a long time.
That your skin is thick already.
Your
so
skin
just,
is thick,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
That's actually the utility
mm-hmm.
of reading. And I'm finding that in the sort of social justice
spade.
Turn
yeah.
in trans politics and trans life, some of that is actually being lost. And I'm finding that there's a very sharp racial and class divide where a lot of the people that go the most hard for like a sort of like Tumblr version of trans justice, which is very dependent on call outs and, you know, being, you know, hyper vigilant as to not offend one another, versus like the communities that we come from,
yeah,
where it's like a rite of passage is that you're going to get read. Every flaw,
yeah,
that you know about yourself, your girlfriends know it too.
Yeah.
And when we're all kikiing and we're all reading each other, they're gonna say it.
And calling each other Eric Estrada.
Chips. Oh my god. Football Madea.
Yeah, okay, you know.
So this is what some of the girls were saying last night.
Yeah,
oh my god,
yeah,
it was so funny.
What is that, like, Asia Ho Chi Minh Boom?
That's you. Okay.
I love that.
She said, this communist.
Okay, this communist.
Okay.
Okay.
So that was a good moment. And then she looked at me.
Yeah.
Her name is Bianca. She's a trans elder.
Oh, we have to talk about Bianca.
She looked at me,
yeah,
and like nudged me and was like, oh, this, you know, here she goes again with her communist BS. I'm like, who do you think told her to read Marx in the first place? So yeah, Asia Ho Chi Minh Boom. Because your drag name back in the days
was Asia Ho Jackson.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yeah.
So like,
yeah,
coming from some
and
of those
Ho
community,
because that is my mother's last name.
Yes.
Not because I mean I'm a thought ho too,
uh-huh,
but I mean also I'm a ho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my birth.
So you know, coming from that, our you know, training, for lack of a better word, are coming up, our sort of second development, really, in community, is one that is actually really extremely problematic.
Yeah.
Really. And that's not to say one is right and one is wrong, because it's not about that. It's just, I'm finding that there is a divide, and I don't have any proposals to bridge it. It's just something that I'm seeing more and more.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to see how a harmony is found, or if one can be.
Honestly, I think strategically reading and preparing that thick skin amongst our, you know, community is very important, like strategically,
mm-hmm,
because I find that, you know, maybe I can speak up for myself,
mm-hmm,
that like I can shout down fascists and you know, look 5-0 in the eye and like just be there and just be militant,
mm-hmm,
because of my thick skin that,
mm-hmm,
I've developed from,
beautiful,
you know, not just people, my community reading me, but you know, from that period where I was getting those attacks already, you know,
mm-hmm,
when I wasn't passing as I should have, or when I wasn't as, you know, passing,
mm-hmm,
so
when people weren't giving you the respect that you deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for you're asking me to talk about reading and its utility and the divide, because it's pretty sharp. So I think more than anything, what can ease tensions and bond people is struggling. So this still here rally in March is going to be the first one.
Yes.
There have been some demonstrations in other cities in response to the Trump memo, but they've used different language,
yeah,
and particularly the won't be erased,
yeah,
tagline, which I think is good, but I think still here is better.
Yeah.
I think won't be erased implies the gaze of the other, right?
Right.
You know, Toni Morrison talked about this. You know, she talks about writing without the white gaze in her story. G-A-Z-E, not G-A-Y-S.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that still here sort of re-centers trans people, trans resilience, trans persistence.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like it better.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree, right? Because still here, coming from Miss Major,
mm-hmm,
that's her active voice, and she is saying that she is still here,
mm-hmm,
right? That that hit is her active voice, and she's making that claim that mm-hmm. that is what's going right, rather than something that's being done to her.
Mm-hmm.
And on a narrative level too, like our narratives
mm-hmm.
are constantly being taken from
mm-hmm.
us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are constantly being co-opted by other forces out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know that like last year, the military ban. And then the, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then the attacks on transgender youth, that like the narrative around that time was that transgender people, specifically transgender women, are predators.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When we know, when we know that like the predators are like really the Republicans, like
mm-hmm.
that have been like being predatorial in the
mm-hmm.
bathrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
That like, I know that when I've had to go to the men's room, I've been assaulted before. So
I'm sorry.
Thanks. So like that narrative is always being hijacked. And
mm-hmm.
for us to claim our voice again,
mm-hmm.
to claim our agency and our agency in that, is that we are still here and
mm-hmm.
we're going to do something about this. We're fighting this.
Yes. The military ban that you were talking about is saying that trans people cannot serve in the military. That's
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah.
Which, while I should be clear, Nia and I are both
anti-war,
ardent anti-war, anti-imperialist.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the majority of the violence in the world comes from the U.S. military. We should not.
Yeah.
You know. So, and the military is often one of the lifelines for people who are experiencing poverty.
Oh, absolutely.
To be able to go to school, provide a life for themselves, and have enough money to live. And it's not even a guarantee, because look at the veteran services that are being cut all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so,
they come back from war and they're just left, you know, without any help.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them have PTSD. What is it? The guy that just shot up the country club 2 days ago. Do you remember? He was an ex-Marine.
Mm.
PTSD, right?
Yeah.
Not that that's an excuse to go shoot up.
No,
but you know,
but
like,
we should name that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, has probably complex PTSD, not being taken care of by the VA,
mm-hmm.
and what happens, right?
So there's that, right? So it would essentially ban trans people from being able to enlist and serve. And then the bathroom ban was an attack on children,
right?
Under the leadership of Trump and Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, that would make it so that kids in public schools would not be able to seek legal recourse through the education, the federal education system, that they would not be protected to be able to use the bathroom that they need and deserve in order to feel safe. That was the attack on children. And so I just wanted to make sure that everyone who's listening knows that's what that refers
to. She's
so
amazing. You know how like you would say like Amy Goodman, oh my gosh, she remembers so much? That's you.
Okay,
like
from
how,
your mouth to God's ears.
Oh, I okay.
And I'm Nermin Shik. Okay.
I'm Nermin Shik.
I was gonna be her for Halloween last year.
Oh wow.
But I wanted to do it with this Latino guy named Nestor and this white woman whose name I forgot.
I love
when
that.
I was living in Minneapolis working on the Ginger Jensen campaign, but they didn't come through. I really wanted us to be Amy, Nermin, and Juan Gonzalez Halloween, and I've never seen those costumes, and I really wanted to do it, and I was like, especially like the left would love that.
Oh yes,
but I don't know, maybe next year. So those are the previous attacks that Trump has made on trans people, and this memo is just the latest,
mm-hmm.
and of course, it's not going to be the last.
No, it's not. No.
So. Another piece that I want to bring in is that our friend Jenice Gutierrez, the famous one who yelled at President Obama when he was trying to congratulate himself at that party.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
With all the
Pride celebration.
Yeah, the
party.
Pride celebration. All the LGBs were patting each other on the back for, you know, such a job well done. And it's not to say that we haven't made progress, because that, true, like,
we're not being hauled in, like, you know, paddy wagons,
right,
now.
It's,
and
it,
yeah,
it is an improvement. And
but who did that, right?
Jenny said that was because of struggle from below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jenny said went there in order to talk about trans women in ICE detention back when Obama was the president.
Mm-hmm.
And she yelled him down when everyone else
he was the deporter in chief.
The deporter in chief. Oh, no, yeah, doubt about it. We should not praise Obama when we're talking down about Trump. While there were elements of his demeanor that were much better, certainly he's a black man, right? I often say the best thing about Obama is that he's a black man. That's the best thing about him.
Yeah.
Everything else is not so great.
Yeah, well, he was bombing Yemen and Afghanistan and, well, in Africa too, no? And, like, Syria?
All over the world. I mean,
yeah.
The didn't close any bases.
Right.
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Being friendly with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Tell kids
whistleblowers
in the West Bank that Obama's a good guy. Can you do that? No. No, they're not going to. Anyway. I don't want to keep going. But so Jenny Sae Gutierrez, the one that President Obama, you know, like yelling, you know, and then all the angry,
and everybody's like, shh,
yes, all the angry white gays were trying to shush her, and she wouldn't have it. They escorted her out.
We just got our roses. Shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
But after that, many people on the left really embraced her.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I met her was at the Socialism Conference in Chicago in 2015.
Yeah.
After that, because she was recognized as a hero by people who have long had a critique of Obama, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she's been proven right since those days. Obama's being ineffectual after I just said we're not going to keep talking about Obama. But it's his being ineffectual.
Uh-huh.
That gave us Trump. You don't get a right-wing demagogue unless you have a neoliberal hack that's keeping people in poverty. Doesn't take serious strides to break the chains of oppression and poverty.
Yeah, they're pushing those boundaries, you know, like moving, yeah.
It's what, we talked about this earlier. You know, the deindustrialized working class goes to fascism when you bust their unions, when you cut their wages. When you end their jobs, that's where they go. They go to the reaction.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jenny Sett will be here.
Yeah, Jenny Sett's coming.
And she's going to be bringing in the piece about trans detention. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so, you know, one of our demands is, you know, to Governor Gavin Newsom that we want to stop the transgender detention,
mm-hmm.
Specifically... I don't remember it was the two detentions, one in San Diego and in Adelanto, you know, trans women in ICE detention centers. And there are transgender women in the caravans as refugees.
Yeah.
You know, I am also a transgender woman refugee myself. You know, I was a boat person.
I'm so glad you're here. You made it. You're still here.
I'm still here.
I love you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm still here for that. But yes, like there are the transgender women that are in the migrant that they are trying to escape a murderous situation already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to come here and to be thrown into a detention center and... for example, Roxana Hernandez, right? That,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Roxana. That she had a heart attack and wasn't even taken care of. Or Nikki Hernandez that was raped
beaten and raped
in the middle of a desert, and her carcass just thrown into a shallow grave. And this was done by a serial killer Border Patrol agent.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
So this is like cis heteronormative patriarchy here in action, killing our sisters, right? So Genesis will be speaking about that. I mean, with much more articulation than I could, but that is a problem. That this the military industrial complex is already. That's one of the ways that it hurts our communities.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I often think about the link between the era of colonization, the military coming directly out of the settler colonial state that we all are here living under now, and how there have been attempts to demonize pre-colonial indigenous cultures, oftentimes on the basis of their not excluding and oppressing gender-variant people. In fact, often revering them. That in many cultures, two genders are not the norm, the standard.
Yeah.
And that there is room, sometimes there is celebration for people who express gender differently.
Yeah.
That the era of colonization brought in a sort of Christian fundamentalist value that saw the sort of cis-hetero patriarchy, cis meaning cisgender,
sure.
meaning not trans.
Mm-hmm.
Cis is a Latin prefix for on the same side of hetero, as in heterosexual, being attracted to the opposite gender, assuming you're working within a binary framework.
Right.
And patriarchy, a society that's dominated and has a preference toward men in leadership and is defined by its domination of women and other genders.
And normative, as in like making this seem like this is all real. This is all normal.
Yes.
Right? That
yes.
this is something that it is innate, essential in our society.
Mm-hmm.
When we step outside of the United States or any other colony of the United States, we can begin to see that like gender looks different in various ways,
mm-hmm.
right? That how colonization has affected many of us is that when we see our brains have been indoctrinated to think in such binaries that
mm-hmm.
we only see and read people through these concepts and construct of gender, which is man, woman, penis, vagina, breast or no breast, you know, like
mm-hmm.
just like very binary. And as you said, that like there are gender variant people of other civilizations, other peoples, countries and spaces that they were revered. Right? Or they were caregivers. They they took care of the children, or they cooked and they did things that were non-capitalistic in nature, right? So there are gender variant people in many cultures, right? We're talking about the Hijras in like South Asia, like India or the Middle East, right? Likening to like eunuchs or a third sex,
mm-hmm.
Or like the Katuis in Thailand, right?
The Fafafines
yeah.
in the Pacific Islands.
And then the Two Spirits. And then there was another one in the Philippines that I don't remember, the Bantut,
mm-hmm.
if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But you know that there are different types of ways to express your gender.
Mm-hmm.
And here, under United States, you know, ideology, if you want to call it that.
It's an ideology. It's a death cult.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That, like, our way of being is reduced to just having babies and creating more of a workforce and creating more profits. And, like, it's a death.
Trap. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so. We just had Trump declare himself as a nationalist. He came out as a nationalist. We always knew he was, but he had to come out, right? A happy coming out day.
Bullhorn or dog whistle.
So he is. Yes, bullhorn or dog whistle. Right.
Right. Yeah.
He will deny that when he says nationalist, he is sort of winking at white nationalists.
Nationalism.
Fine. Fine, whatever, Trump. Why should people come tomorrow?
people should come tomorrow. I mean, come if you're trans, come if you are gender nonconforming, please come. And people, cis people, allies, accomplices, they should come because I mentioned earlier that, our oppression is intertwined and linked. And I think for cis people to hear trans leaders, speakers, talk about our struggle could really help them understand and work out new ways for us to I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart. new ways for us to organize.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the new ways to organize, I know this is y'all's rally, right? I'm an outside agitator.
Yeah.
What is the protocol to bring in new people, to get the people that are mobilizing to the event to organize in the organization? What is your plan? Do you have one?
Yeah, so we're going to debrief after, but I think we're going to create a website. So my plan is to have that website and have people sign up,
mm-hmm.
and or we can just start collecting emails and meet up and see, okay, well, what do you need?
I'm like, very happy to be at a table and give out literature and get people to sign up.
Yeah.
You know, like a good Trotskyist, like, you know, I'll make sure that all gets done.
And we will have a table, so definitely.
If y'all have, I know that the Gender Health Center, how many employees are here?
I believe 20 or so.
20. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So that
we need funding.
Okay.
We definitely need
funding. Fund a position for an organizer.
Yeah. We need new programs, definitely. You know, if one of our demands for Gavin Newsom is to create, you know, jobs for trans people, an employment program.
Yeah.
We need that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of trans people that need that money, and that could definitely be a new project to work on.
I mean, imagine a job that your job is to do data entry, to get all the people who signed down, to do one-on-ones, follow-up, group meetings, to find out what it is that, you know, like needs assessment in the community, then turn that needs assessment into an organizing campaign. I mean, this stuff is not rocket science, but it is very taxing emotionally. It takes a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
and it takes some know-how. And I get frustrated with myself because I know all this to be true and yet I'm not doing it, and what does that look like? Like, it's frankly, it's a failure on not just my part, but our parts. Our movement should be able to have the capacity to do this basic organizing work.
Yeah.
Yet we spend so much of our time funding people to go to a conference, to sit in a room, to talk about microaggressions, or, you know, like, and you know what, I shouldn't make fun, right? Because the microaggressions are real. They do build up over time and hurt people.
Yeah.
It is okay to do that. It is not okay to have that be the central focus of a nonprofit's work and then call that organization toward liberation. Because I'm not so sure that that's what it is. Because to me, diversity and inclusion training fits quite nicely inside of a neoliberal frame. And I question when people put forward that this is sort of the way that we'll get free. I'm like, is it though? I'm pretty sure you have to, like, actually devise a revolutionary program and carry it out.
Yeah.
And that means organizing people. That means winning people over and not moralizing people over the head with a big stick.
Right, yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on
that.
You know?
It's problematic, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, how else are we going to reach out to cis people that just don't know? You know? Like, none of this shaming thing.
I hear it when people say, it's not my job to educate you.
Right.
I hear that. Some of the girls said it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's correct. It's true. It's not. And it's worth it to at least identify who in the community has that capacity. Most of the people that are listening to us right now are cisgender.
Yeah.
And I think we've been educating them for about an hour. And I think that's good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you as a trans person don't have the capacity, the drive, the want to do that work, I think it's worth it to at least honestly say, that's not my forte.
Yeah, but you know, that I feel like that capacity is tied into poverty as well, right?
Oh,
like,
of course.
If they're getting their materials conditions met, like housing, food, the stuff that if they're getting coins, that could be taken care of.
Yeah.
That they're worrying less about how am I going to get their, my next meal or my next bed or things like that, and more about, okay, well, how am I going to
change the system?
How am I going to reach out to the church that I'm going to go see and train these
Christians,
you know, about gender, about my experience and things like that, right? If they were fed and they had a good night's sleep, it would make it so much... It makes a world of difference for the capacity to do these things, right?
I just got housing after having precarious housing for a long time, couch surfing and not having that as a base. It's only been a few weeks. I am sleeping sound. Not having nightmares, not waking up with dread, not feeling exhausted and depleted throughout the day, not breaking down after a protest.
Right.
It's night and day. It makes all the difference. And trans people need it and deserve it, and they're not getting it. And we need to launch a fight so that they do.
I absolutely agree. Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really hard. You brought up trans elders earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fighting for this for decades.
Yeah, and they have a lot of tenacity and a lot of resilience to do this, right? I mean, I'm speaking about my own trans mother, Bianca Lucrecia, right?
The legend.
Love her.
She's so funny.
Erica Estrada.
She's gonna whoop you?
Oh, that's fine. She can come for me. Okay.
And she does.
And she does come for me.
Asia,
you know?
Ho Chi Minh, boom.
Okay, and I love that, you know? But, you know, she's been doing this for so long, and she has, she just keeps on going, and I just admire that so much in her. And she has so much life, and her laughter is so infectious, you know? It just breaks my heart that, who's gonna take care of her? Or who's taking care of our trans elders, right? That there's this generational gap, right? And as you say, the retirement funds are going to be currently being depleted right now.
Social Security is going to end if the right has their way.
Right. What's going to happen to our trans elders as they get older? Right. Who's going to care for them? They can't put more labor as their body is starting to, you know, fall apart, you know, sad to say, but we need to be there for our elders. We need to be the ones that make sure that they're still here, or at least enjoy the end of their life, you know?
Because they've made it. Which is amazing.
And they should be revered.
How many old trans people do we even know? Our friends get killed in their 30s.
Right. The age of trans women that, you know, on average lives up to is 35.
Yeah.
Bianca is 60, almost 70 years old, you know? So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So reach out to your elders.
Bring them in the fold.
Bring them in the
Even
fold.
Even though they're problematic.
Even if they're problematic. But you know what?
Because they're old school.
It's a different culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're about reading, and we have
Tumblr
to understand
changed
that.
Everything.
Oh, did it?
I'm
not on Tumblr.
I blame Tumblr.
Yeah, the only time I've ever looked at Tumblr, I've seen a lot of bears, you know, doing each other. So.
Not that part of Tumblr. Social justice Tumblr.
Oh, my bad.
But it's okay.
Oh.
It's okay. So, yeah. Nia, Thank you so much for being here. I love you.
I love you too.
So please say, just for everyone that's listening, of course this is in Portland, but other people that will listen to it online, people that will go to my Facebook or my YouTube where I also post this, please say what is in the press release.
Sure. On November 10th, 2018, at 10 a.m. at the Lavender Library, members of the Gender Health Center in Sacramento will hold a rally with supporters from all over the state and country. This is a response to the recent Trump White House memo that would essentially write out transgender as a legal category if implemented. It is widely understood by trans people that this is an attack by the right to erase trans people from existence. They will march to the west steps of the Capitol via 21st Street up to L Street at 11 a.m. Their demands on Acting Governor Gavin Newsom are as follows. End trans detentions. Trans asylees must be released from all ICE custody in California, especially Adelanto Processing Center and Otay Mesa Detention Center in San Diego, where we are a concentrated population. Trans job programs. Employment discrimination is devastating to our lives. Begin to correct the disparity with a state job program. Union jobs. 3. Establish an independent investigation of Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones and District Attorney Ann Shupert. These two have never charged any offending officers who have killed people of color. Shupert reviewed a blank check for unlawful violence. The police establishment have returned the favor by writing a few checks of its own. Shupert has now received upward of $420,000 from law enforcement for her campaign for re-election in June. This is a call to trans people the world over to take up the hashtag still here hashtag, a phrase adopted by Miss Major, pioneering trans rights activist. I'm still here.
Effing.
I'm still effing here, she says. Despite unyielding bigotry and oppression, trans people plan to persist.
We plan to persist. Tomorrow morning in Sacramento, we're doing this, and hopefully this movement will grow and more trans people will take up serious campaigns to improve our material conditions and raise the banner of liberation for all. We are among the most oppressed and hated people on the globe. How fitting that we be the ones that help lead a new society.
Come out. Come out wherever you are.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're ready for you. Come out.
This has been The Struggle with Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator. I will talk to you all next week.
KBOO is excited to be part of the 2018 Willamette Week Give Guide. This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life. KBOO has been showing up for over 50 years. Give to KBOO today and you get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, We Press, and Nosa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give or call 503-231-8032. Support KBOO, where music makes the movement. Thank you.
Thank you. is hiring a development director. This 32-hour-a-week position develops and implements the yearly fundraising plan, develops promotional and press materials, and supports the anti-oppression work of KBOO. Send a cover letter and resume to Delphine Crescenzo at del@kboo.org or send to KBOO,